Yo, we be jamming so hard. he be busting. So what up, y'all? What up, what up? Welcome to Life Unfiltered. Heal that shit. This is the podcast where we fearlessly navigate the complexities of life, love, grief, and the extraordinary journey of healing. We are inviting you to join us on this raw and unfiltered exploration as we share our personal stories, our triumphs, our challenges, and all of the things to inspire and uplift you. I just want to pause right here and ask you, Bianca, did you watch that live that I told you not to watch?
I did not watch the live.
Great. Okay, good. Because I got some story time today. And my God, it's going to be pretty interesting. But we know that in the world, like, it often encourages us to mask our struggles. But we really wanted to choose to use our lives as a way to talk about some of these things and model how we live with love and vulnerability. Because we believe it's time for us to collectively address our shit so that we can have some real conversations and verbalize some of the things that you might not have wanted to say or some of the things you might not have even thought about so that we can get to the root of the shit and heal. So 2024 is the year of popping that shit. More about that later. So we're going to tell y'all who we are, what we do. My name is Kim Kimberland. I am an educational advocate, activist, consultant. I am a visionary, a motivational speaker. I am an intuitive, melanated life coach. I help people deepen their relationship with God and understand their purpose in order to positively impact the world. I am a professional frolicker, and I am also an expat who is back in Medellin, Colombia, and I am so, so, so excited to be here tonight. So what up, y'all?
Hey, yes, indeed. My name is Bianca. I'm a digital strategist and activist and consultant. I'm also a private investigator and a receipt collector. Please put some respect on my name. I am a certified snitch out here in these streets. I'm also the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we educate, we advocate, we coach and heal. I'm also an intuitive melanated life coach. I'm a digital nomad, currently working wherever there is Wi-Fi. Currently, I'm in Lakeland, Florida, and I am empowering others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment. So, right. So like here in this space, this is a safe space. We operate by three keys here. Okay. That is accountability, transparency, and integrity. Before we get started, we need to go ahead and lay out our community agreements to make sure that everyone understands what we can expect, what you can expect from us and what we can expect from you. Okay. So what you can expect from us. The three keys, baby. Okay. We keeping it real. We're going to speak freely. And sometimes we're going to cuss if and when we feel like it. So if you have children in the room, might want to put some headphones on, do something, right?
I got a lot of cussing to do tonight. I'm going to just put it out there.
Yes, indeed.
I'm just saying. I'm just putting a disclaimer out there that you put the headphones on, put the earbuds in.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. We are unapologetically us. Okay, so with that being said, that's what you can expect from us. Now, what we can expect from you. All right, so hate speech and comments are not welcomed here. This is a safe space. We believe in the Block and Be Blessed ministry, so we ain't up here with all the foolishness, okay? We want you to engage with us and to go on this journey with us. We're not experts, but we are facilitating the conversation of our lives. And we want you to participate in this journey and bring people with you. So I want you to put in the comments where you're watching from. If you're here live, hey, we love you. If you're watching a replay, hey, we love you too. But please let us know who you are, where you're watching from, because together we are committed to doing the work to heal. You got some updates, Kim. What's up?
I do a whole bunch of updates. So just want to put that out there. Okay, get your notebooks and such and govern yourselves accordingly, right?
Amen. So, amen.
The first thing, I don't know if y'all know this, but you will know this after watching us and hanging out with us and all of that. I really, really like community. So when it comes to like podcast spaces and stuff like that, one of my favorite spaces to hang out is over with Kev on Stage and the Kev on Stage of the cinematic universe, if you will, right? And in those spaces, there's always like an emoji that people use to like let themselves know. So in Kev on Stage's space, it's the clapper for the movie, right? So we like flood the things with that, or like Tabitha Brown is avocados, right? So we have some emojis that we want to share with you all and remind you all of, because you might see us out in different spaces. So when we're in those different spaces, this is how you let us know that we, that you know that we here, right? Because you was here for the conversation. So first thing, in this space, we are talking about healing, right? So we have the heart emoji with the bandages around it and then green, blue, or purple hearts. So that is the way that you can let us know what that you are a part of our community. Another way, let's say you want to show some support for Bianca specifically. So you want to tell them what yours on?
Yes, indeed. So I have the teddy bear emoji and, of course, the heart emoji. Okay. It is teddy bear season, baby. And we giving a whole bunch of love. So those are my emojis. What are yours?
So mine are the crayon, because I am coloring the fuck out of this life. That's where I am right now.
Yes,
I feel
indeed.
Like I am out of this black and white phase that I was in, and I am now in color. So the crayon, and then also the sunflower. Yellow is my favorite color. You can see that in my glasses. So the yellow sunflower is another way that you are able to show me love. So wanted to put those out there. So those are our emojis. The other thing that we want to remind you of is that we do have our Heal That Shit spaces. We are on Instagram, TikTok, Patreon, YouTube, Facebook, right? If you put in Heal That Shit, with the exception of Facebook, don't put the I, they don't like us to cuss over there in the Facebook world. But anyway, if you put in Heal That Shit, then you will find us. And those are the spaces where you'll be able to connect with us and some of the things that we have planned. So one of the things that we have planned that I'm real excited about or whatever, because it had just come to my mind the other day and I was like, ooh, this is going to be cool. And then I had talk to you and then you was like, oh my goodness, this is what I was thinking about. Okay, so we are going to do a challenge for the month of April, and that challenge is going to be called the Pop That Shit Challenge. Okay, the Pop That Shit Challenge. So we have another show before, so next show we gonna like show y'all all the things and all that or whatever, right? But basically what this is, the thing I had ran across this video, and this lady was like, this is the season for us to be winning out loud and to be doing things out loud. And I feel, especially as Black women, a lot of times we mute ourselves because we trying to be humble and palatable and don't want to hear all the stuff that people are saying about how we this, that, or whatever else, because they always going to have something to say, right? And I'm just over it, because it's like when we be talking to each other, both of us be telling the other person like, bitch, do you know who you are? Like, do you know who the hell you are? Like,
right.
Do you know who you are? So I don't know if you want to add anything before I tell the people what it's going to be like, because this kind of unfolded organically the other day.
It did. And I'm so glad that it did, because we were having a conversation in one of our think tanks and we were talking about writing down all of our accomplishments and notating the power of what God has been giving us during this season. And I was sharing with Kimberlyn some of the things that I have been able to achieve and putting some respect on my name and really owning that I am that girl, to the point where we had to do a whole praise break and actually play Beyonce, I Am That Girl, in the middle of it. It was perfect.
Like, play I'm That Girl. Because listen, that was a word right there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure. So yeah. Anyway, so we just kind of in that season, y'all, because I feel like we have been muting ourselves for just too long, and people mm-hmm. try to make us feel bad about our greatness. You know what I mean? And we both collectively have really, really impacted some lives in a major way. So Bianca and I are currently making a list of things, right, that we are proud of accomplishing. And it doesn't have to, it's not huge things. Some of the things are going to be like, I am proud that I am still here. Okay. And that is gigantic. So we are going to be making that list, and we invite you all to start making your list, because when April comes, every day we want to share something that we popping our shit about. So we want to pop our shit about overcoming, and that might be pictures. It might be writing a blog post. It might be a video that you might record. Hell, you might write a poem or a rap. I don't know. But the whole point is to remind ourselves of who the hell we are, because these people be out here playing in our face. And let me tell you something, I'm sick of it. You hear me? I'm sick of it. So we need to remind ourselves who we are, so that when we walk into spaces, we're not looking for somebody else to define us. I already know who I am when I walked up in here. I already know that I'm it. I'm that girl.
Yes, indeed. Period, poo.
Okay. So that's the Pop That Shit Challenge. And again, we're going to give you more information about that on our next show. So the last update that we wanted to give, that is the juicy update. So we've been talking about this for a little while. And today I was actually inspired to just go ahead and make it, because I kept forgetting to make it. So both of us are out here in these Dayton streets, right? And anybody else that is out here in these dating streets right now understands that it is ghetto. Okay, like, it's just a lot. It's a lot that's going on. It's a lot of stories need to be told and experiences that need to be shared. Okay, it's a lot. So we have been saying for a long time, like, we really need to start talking about these things, right? And so I don't know if you want to tell the people, because you kind of came up with the concept with the music and all that kind of stuff. This has been going on for a while, honestly, but we finally just put it. Go ahead. And I don't even know what you're going to say, but go ahead. I'm going to give you the floor to say what you're going to say about. Go ahead. Say what you're saying. Go ahead. Ooh. I already know this is about to be some foolish.
Okay. So let me just say and level set to say that some of these conversations are going to be behind a paywall, because it's necessary for that to happen. The concept of what we're talking about, think of an NFL draft, okay? Think about, you have different people that want to give you love, and there are different rules that are required in order for that love to happen and for it to be a safe space. Sometimes there's individuals that have, you know, technical fouls, and, you know, they need to be sit on the bench. And there's some people that are starting league, like, they get priority, attention, and time. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in this dating world and interacting with different people, I have the firm belief that love is not a possession. And I have a firm belief that love is the highest frequency. And I'll follow back up with that when I have the transparency moment later. But these draft cards, I want you to share with them what it is, because, again, the rest of it is going to be behind a paywall, baby. Okay.
So basically, as Bianca said, you know, sometimes it's necessary to have a team, you know, of people and options, you know what I mean? And sometimes you got to weigh the pros and the cons of the things, you know what I'm saying? There you go. So we came up with a system for us to be able to do that, so that we can objectively make decisions about some of these things. So enter the draft. So what you see here on your screen is the draft card. And in that space in the middle is going to be a picture of a person, okay? Each person is going to have a nickname. We are also going to have their location, what their career field is, as well as their skill set, qualities and characteristics that make them stand out, right? Then we can have objective conversations about these people and the places that they should be or should not be in our lives, right? So do they get promoted to the starting line or do they get demoted to the practice squad? You know, sometimes we got to have those conversations. And like Bianca said, those conversations will be happening over on our Patreon. So if you are interested in the tea, and Jesus, let me tell you, it's a lot of it.
Okay? Yes, indeed.
It is a lot. Because I done had stories locked and loaded since then. Okay.
Yes,
so
indeed.
I done been in a whole Lifetime movie special. Like, it is wild. Okay. So anyway, if you are interested in those conversations will be happening over on our Patreon page. And again, that is Heal That Shit over on Patreon. All right. So that's all my updates. That's all the updates that we have for now.
Yes, indeed.
We're so silly.
Yes, indeed. I just want to tell the people, life after divorce, it has been challenging. But baby, when I tell you I am living, living. So I'm excited to do the spirit check because I remember where I was the last episode and I am in a completely different space.
I hear you. So let me get our spirit check on up here, honey. So what's your spirit feeling like? So like,
oh, I'm green, baby. I am green. I am absolutely wonderful. Despite the obstacles and despite what's happening, and again, I'll share more details in my transparency moment. I'm in a really good space emotionally, physically, spiritually. And I am just grateful to God for my village. I'm grateful to God for my family. I'm grateful to God for all of the blessings that continue to show up. When I tell you God is restoring everything that was stolen, that was broken, that He is restoring it. And I'm just so grateful that my relationship with God has gotten stronger in the midst of everything that has been happening. And He is in full control. And I am just grateful just to be a servant and to continue to live my life unapologetically me. And that's what I'm standing on. I'm standing on business.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I love that for you. That's what's up. I'm also green. I am wonderful. Every day I've been asking myself how I feel when I wake up. And I've been like, I'm happy. Like every day, I've just been like, I'm happy. And it's almost like a surprise, but I guess I don't like, cause I don't really know when it happened. I know when I started noticing that it was happening. But then there was still some days in between there that were like really, really difficult, but like to just be consistently happy. It is really, really interesting. So yeah, I am absolutely wonderful. And to your point, I can see so many things that God is doing and moving. And I've just chosen to be in a space of faith and just, I'm just not going to worry about it. Like, I'm going to go to sleep. And
yes, indeed.
You do what you need to do, Lord. And I appreciate you for doing what you need to do. But I can't try to carry that and hold that and make myself crazy over, I just can't. So it, even though it feels sometimes a little terrifying to kind of just take my hands off the wheel and be like, Jesus, take the wheel. it also is very peaceful because I'm like, then I get to be happy and I get to do what you told me to do and you get to do the rest. So yeah, that's where I am.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And for the people that are watching and the people that will watch this later on the replay, we want to know how your spirit is doing. And if you don't feel comfortable posting it on the comment section, even though this is a safe space for you to do that, reach out to us and let us know how your spirit is. Because when I tell you, when we've had these episodes, there have been people that have reached out to me privately to say, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for talking about healing and dealing with life after divorce and dealing with infidelity and betrayal and just all of the different things you're dealing with, heart complications and health challenges. Like, these conversations are so vital. These spaces are so vital. So I'm just so grateful and thankful that we have created this safe space to have these vital conversations, because it's needed and we need to love one another. We are committed again to doing the work to heal.
Yeah.
Yes,
indeed. That wasn't on purpose, but it was so well timed. So well timed. Look at God. Look at God. Okay. I agree with that. It's a lot going on, and we really do need each other. And I'm just so grateful that we have had each other in all of this. I have went back and listened to my video the other day. This is not necessarily my transparency moment, but I'm gonna just kind of lead this into this because it kind of feels like it goes into what you might be about to say. But I've been trying to get into the habit of going back and watching some of the things that God had told me to record. And I was explaining to somebody, or I was asking somebody, if they understood what happened with me in July. And they were like, well, no, not really. And I was like, okay, I'm going to send you a video so you can watch this video, because it's too much, like, for me to have to try to encapsulate it in three sentences, you know? So I sent it to them, but then I was like, I want to watch it again. And I was watching it, and it just really brought me back to last year. And everything that we lived through over this past year. And it was just, it was interesting to like look back at myself and listen to myself and then know what's ahead of me. But back then I had no idea, you know, like it was really, really interesting. So I found myself in the space lately of reflecting and kind of just coming across some things that have really made me start thinking about that pop that shit gratitude challenge, right? Of like, wow, there are some things that I really need to be intentional about thanking God for, because this is wild and I'm still here. So I'm gonna pause right there, and I'm gonna let you go ahead and jump into your transparency moments for the day.
Okay. Yes, indeed. All right. So let's talk about it. Well, so it has been a year since the passing of my grandmother. I actually just shared a memory that was on Facebook, which, by the way, some of my Facebook memories for the past couple of days had encouraged this whole process of me writing down all of my accomplishments, because seeing some of the things that I was able to achieve and have documented on social media, like, I need to make sure that I write this outside of social media and actually have this archived and preserved. So if something were to ever happen to me, then it's clear the legacy of what was created, what I've been doing, and the mission that God has me on. And also, some of my memories have been very triggering. So seeing memories of me and my ex-wife and kind of the advocacy that we had done together as a couple, like seeing some of that did cause me some distress. And so I had to modify some of my Facebook settings just so that I don't continue to re-traumatize myself by watching and seeing things that could cause me harm by doing so. So I shared the video of my grandmother, and I just want to say, like, the thing that my grandma instilled in me was that love is the highest frequency. Circling back to what I was saying earlier about how love is not a possession and how love is the highest frequency, that is what my grandmother instilled in me. And so being able to watch that memory and watch that video that we have together, that's one of my greatest memories. Yeah. And that was right before she transitioned. And so it was great to just have that time with her, but also just realizing like, wow, it's been a year since her passing, and just look at how I've come so far in my grief and healing journey. And so I'm just giving gratitude to God because I just didn't know how I would function without my grandmother.
Yeah.
And here I am having these transparent conversations about how I am in a much better place than where I've been several months ago. So just seeing old videos of myself and then looking at me now.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the power of God has their hand all over all of this, right? Because yeah, it is unimaginable when I thought that I just didn't have a purpose anymore and that I was broken and that, you know, I wasn't worth anything, to now being like, oh yeah, y'all gonna have to charge me some more. You're gonna have to pay me some more because you're gonna have to put some respect on my name based on all the work and the things that I have accomplished. So that is what I wanted to share about my grandmother. So traveling to St. Pete. Whew. Okay. So as a digital nomad, now I have the opportunity to go to different places and I'm very excited about that. But one place that I took a visit was St. Petersburg. Boy, let me tell you about good old St. Pete. Okay. So I'm headed to St. Pete, and the last time that I visited St. Pete, I was triggered. I believe that I sent Kimberlyn this long voice note of being like, bruh, it feels odd being here. I don't like this feeling that I have being here. I feel like I don't belong here. While I am fully entitled to be anywhere that I can be. And I felt so displaced. But when I tell you, when I went to St. Pete this week,
it felt different.
It was a completely different vibe. When I tell you, I felt at peace driving around the city. There were some changes that I saw in the community where I used to live at. And I'm just like, whoa, I didn't even recognize some of the stuff anymore. The Popeye's gone. My old pharmacy gone.
What? They done took the Popeye's, girl.
Girl, listen, and that Popeyes, you know, I think I've sent you some videos and some audio messages about this Popeyes here. You know, they be having the sign that's plastered on their box when you go to make your order. Mm-hmm. Oh, honey, I mean, that was a special Popeyes, baby. I mean, it was always something, but hey, when you need some food, that's the, hey, okay. That's my business. As Tabitha Brown would say, Auntie Tab.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's my business.
Absolutely.
But and then I heard the Burger King go.
So what is it? Is the gentrification happening over there?
It appears so. Like my old pharmacy is now a Dollar Tree. And I was really confused by that because I was like, if CVS could barely handle the loss prevention as to the reason why they left, why would you put a Dollar Tree here?
Maybe Dollar Tree got a better system. I don't know, but
I don't know. But I think you remember when I went to CVS one time, I was trying to get some deodorant and I was very embarrassed because I had to push a button and wait for an employee to come and unlock the deodorant. So I don't know. But it was so peaceful.
I love that.
So peaceful being able to navigate in the streets. Went and checked my P.O. box. That was a whole mess. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see it. Because I was like, hell no. To the no, no, no. Hell to the no. It's so much mail in that box.
Oh. Some of that is my fault.
Anywho, I wasn't going to put your business on blast, but there we go. There we have it. Yes, indeed. So I'm just sorting through mail and I'm just like, all this paperwork and stuff, but it's okay. It's okay. We're going to have a better system coming soon. So it won't be like that no more. But it was so good to be able to connect with different people, to go see places. I went to go see the Allendale Equity and Justice Center, which I have talked about the amazing work that Allendale has done to transform that space, to make sure that there is justice aligning organizations in that space. And it's unfortunate that I no longer live there to be able to really support it anymore. But I'm just still sending them love and positive vibes from Tallahassee and hope mm-hmm. that everything works out the way that it needs to. And
that's still a part of your legacy because you were the absolutely instrumental in that coming about.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. That's yes, dope. Indeed. I shared on the last episode that I had an emergency where I ended up in the hospital, and I was in the hospital because I had difficulty breathing. And a lot of that was stress, pressure, was a lot going on in my life during that time. And I literally was like, y'all, I need help. I need support. So I actually got support. Shout out to social workers, man. Like shout out to the amazing social workers.
And you know what? It was just Social Workers Appreciation Week, maybe last week, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shout out to them, because after my ER visit, like a social worker was like, okay, so you got new insurance now. Okay. Like, let's go ahead and create you a medical team here in Tallahassee, since most of your doctors, all of your doctors was in Tampa, St. Pete area. Mm-hmm. So now mm-hmm. I have a care team in Tallahassee. I still have my care team in Tampa. They all talk to one another. So awesome. Now if there's something that happens, I'm good. I'm covered. And so I'm just grateful to God that piece is coming together, because I was really stressed out about what my insurance was going to look like, because at the time I had state insurance and that was really great insurance. And I'm mm-hmm. thankful for the people of Florida for voting my ex-wife into office, because had that not happened, I would not have had that type of procedure that I had. And I would have enormous amount of hospital bill debt if I did not have that state insurance. Mm-hmm. My surgery for my heart was almost $1 million. It was like $750,000.
Are
when
you
it
serious?
Yes, honey. Yes. That procedure was so expensive, and I didn't pay nearly any of that out of pocket. I probably paid less than $3,000-$4,000 in total with all of the co-pays and doctor mm-hmm. visits over the course of the years that I've been dealing with this issue. So when I tell you, I'm thankful for the people of Florida for helping my ex-wife get elected, because they saw us together and they voted for us to do that and serve and advocate for the community. And but for that, I don't know where I would have been. But now I'm grateful that I have my own insurance. I have my own healthcare team. And now I'm able to get that continued care that I desperately need for my heart failure and my pacemaker. So I'm grateful for that. And my last update for my transparency moment, I want to tell y'all that this conversation about social media safety has really been tapping on me, so much so, and I'm so ready to get back into that. If you've missed some of my episodes of The Underground, where I've talked about some of the problematic social media influencers and apps, baby, I am back. Social media crisis starts April 4th.
With a notebook, girl. What's the girl name was that was running around licking the toilets?
Oh, such. Honey. It was so many people that actually saw that challenge, and then they actually had a toilet licking challenge. And then there was multiple people that was just licking toilets, and that was during COVID-19. Now, there are people that are doing some dangerous challenges where they're taking copious amounts of Benadryl, they're blacking themselves out, they're hallucinating and doing some very dangerous things. So I'm just going to say, parents, caregivers, and community members, I've been talking about the safety of social media. I've been working with legislators on the safety for social media, and I've been in this fight for a very long time. Okay. I have receipts to back it up. And on April 4th, We are starting our free and paid classes. So I want y'all to come on, follow checkthecellphone.com. That's the website, checkthecellphone.com. And we're going to have these vital conversations because now the legislators are trying to ban TikTok and the state of Florida. They're trying to ban social media altogether. And even the state of Florida, we can't even figure it out what's happening in the state. But the United States is trying to ban TikTok. So we need to have these vital conversations about these platforms. So that is my transparency moment. And I'm grateful to God to be able to share all of those updates.
I'm here for that. That was a lot. But I'm very excited to hear that you're going to get back in the social media safety space. I'll never forget when you talked to me about that calculator app and how absolutely blown I was about that. Like, I just wouldn't stop talking about it. I was like, I just can't believe that this is not a calculator. And they, oh God, like I really felt like somebody's old auntie. So, and not even the young auntie, you know, I felt like somebody's great aunt. Oh baby, what? No, the calculator. Like I just... So I'm glad that you're going to be getting back into that space. I'm really, really excited to hear that. So I, too, have some updates. So the first of which, I moved into my new apartment. Jesus is real. Let me tell y'all something. I'm the type of person that I need to have stability in order to be able to function and to thrive. Like, I'm a digital nomad, but I'm not the typical, like, collect countries and just be everywhere here. That I got to sit my ass down some damn way. You understand me? I need to have a space, right? So I got back here to Columbia last month, and I said to myself, I gave myself some deadlines, right? So, not to get into all kind of things, but just to say back in December, October, July, things wasn't looking so good, okay? And I made this goal that I just wanted to be able to see my next birthday. I was like, I just want to be able to see my next birthday, and I want to see my next birthday in Columbia. I don't care really what else happens after that. And coming up to my birthday, like God started, actually at the start of the year, God started like showing me different things and like, you know, just keep holding on. Just, I'm about to show you some things. Just keep walking. Right. So I got back here to Columbia last month. And then I said by the end of the month, by March, I want to know where I'm going to live. So one of the ways that I figure out what that's going to look like as far as living abroad and all of that is I use Airbnb as a tool. So I had this list of places on Airbnb and I was like, you know, I really like these, da, 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 whatever. And it was one that really just stuck out to me. And I reached out to the owner and I was like, hey, are you willing to do a long-term lease? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. So we wind up exchanging information. I meet her. She is Colombian, but she grew up in the U.S. Her and her family just got back here to Colombia. Maybe I think she said 9 years ago and don't have any plans on going back to the U.S. So there was just a lot of things that we could talk about having had shared an experience of being in the U.S. And me now being here. So I'm talking, we vibing, I'm looking at the space. And I mean, from the moment I opened the door, I was like, I'm about to live here. Because first of all, the balcony is divine. You understand me? And the balcony is not just that it's a balcony and it's a massive balcony, but the door opens all the way up. You see, y'all see where this sheer curtain is over here? That's all balcony right there. You see what I'm saying? So then you open that door on up and then the living room just flow out into the outside and it just makes me happy inside. Okay. And then behind me, you got the dance floor, you understand? So I could just, the dance floor, the model walk, this apartment is everything that I needed is bright. It makes me want to wake up in the morning. The sofa is so comfortable. It's just like, I just love it. I just love everything about it. So I've been spending the last week or so getting stabilized and getting things set up and cleaning and, you know, making sure everything is how I want it. I am very much meticulous about how I keep my home because I believe that your home should be comfortable and you should be able to walk around, you know, freely. And so I've been working on that and I'm really, really, really excited about it and just so grateful that everything worked out. Like I was waiting on an invoice to clear so that I could pay the rent and like all that happened. And it was just like, oh my God, like God was just doing the thing. So super excited about that. And I'd eat on my balcony every day now. So that's the other thing I've been eating every day. And that is an accomplishment.
Amen. Amen. Yep.
How you gonna come off of mute all out? You got something you wanted to add?
I'm sorry, but you know, I would ask my best friend, did you eat today? What did you eat today? And then now we've upgraded because now it's like we're eating multiple meals in a day. And that's like, so I'm giving you your flowers, sis. So I'm just applauding you. That's all. I'm just grateful. I'm gonna go back on mute and I'll go ahead. My bad, but amen to you eating, baby. Okay, amen.
So I've been eating every day, and sometimes twice a day. So that is an accomplishment, and that is an indicator of my mental health and all of that, because food for me is the first thing that could go. Like if I got to choose between sleeping or anything else, food is last. Like I'll be saying in my mind, I have 3 weeks before I starve to death. Today, I'm not going to die. I'll try again tomorrow. Like it's just not the thing for me. So for me to be in a place to actually wake up and want to cook and want to eat and eating more than once, that's huge. So that also has been happening. And then I was sharing my good news that I have my new place with my girl who does my nails. And she was like, you should do like a virtual housewarming. And she was like, you know, to like really inaugurate it because I know that you're really happy about this. And she has been through everything with me. Like every week I would go and like, I'm telling her the things. And I remember when I had realized I was going to have to go back to Mexico. And I don't remember. I told her in person, but I was going to see her one more time before I left. We in a nail shop just crying. Like, and she telling me, don't cry. And I'm like, you know, if you tell me not to cry, I'm going to start crying. Like, you start crying. And then both of us are just crying. And she was like, it's going to be okay. You're going to come back. Like, it's okay. God just needs you to do something. Like, it's going to be okay. So, yeah. So she's been invested in all this. So she was like, I should do a virtual housewarming. So I started compiling an Amazon wish list of different things, like things that I need and then things that would be nice to have. So I'm going to share those links so that if you feel like you want to bless me with anything or send a gift or whatever, then I'll be able to receive those. And you'll know that you have contributed to the well-being of my environment and helping me to rebuild my life. So I'll be sharing that. So then I also, there's been like an influx of people that have been reaching out about trying to escape the U.S., escape education, escape corporate, escape it all, like just the craziness of in the rat race of the world. And one of the things I think that I started noticing is, so I left the US in October of 2021. And at first people thought I was just on vacation. And then like, I guess by now they figured out like she's not coming back. So more and more people have been reaching out and they're like, they saw my apartment. So it's like, oh, I see you have a guest room, you know, can I come and can I stay? You know, all of that. And it really made me think about, remember when you came to see me in Mexico the first time? And I was like, this is the professional frolicker experience. So it really made me start thinking about putting that together, like for real, because I do feel that if people can experience life outside the US, that they may be more willing to take the leap. So I was wondering if there's anything that you wanted to share that you remember from coming to Mexico the first time. And then also you came to Colombia. So having had this experience of coming and seeing how I do life, like how did that impact you in some of the decisions that you made?
So I would say that one, a phenomenal tour guide, right? So like you showed us different spaces of where you went, like for example, the park, and we went to like the Zen garden and just relaxed and vibed and just had a really good time. Like you had some really cool spots that you knew of already and then was willing to explore new spaces. So I think just like you curating that experience made it so much more magical. Also, like just seeing how you live was like, oh, this is obtainable. Like, I think that there is a mindset and a limited belief that it can't be done. But you've clearly shown that it can be done and it can be done in excellence and that you can live it out the way that you want to unapologetically. And so I will say that when we had the conversations about this experience and you creating, I'm like, yo. Like, I think this would be so valuable for people that want to have this experience of being like, you can live outside the United States and you can be able to have all the things, or at least majority of the things that you already have in this new space. But it is going to be different. You are going to be required to do new things and learn new things and not operate in the same way that you've always did. But it was a really good time. And I just want to just say, when you're talking about the guest bedroom, oh, baby, I was waiting for the perfect segue. And this is it here. Okay, so I know that there's a whole bunch of people that's in your inbox and they, you know, want to stay in this guest bedroom, okay? But I want to just say, when Kimberlyn was doing the tour, I done already said that that was going to be my room, okay? We have already had that discussion, so I'm willing to share, okay? And I'm willing to make sure that y'all have some dates that's blocked off, right? Okay, but I just want to just make sure that the record is very, very clear, okay? That guest bedroom, my room, okay, when I come to Colombia. And so I just don't want no smoke. I will all govern yourselves accordingly with love.
I said she is taking this very well. That
I was waiting for the right time. Amen. In Jesus' name.
That's hilarious. So I have two more things. One, I decided that I'm going to do a Discover Your Destiny class in April. That's another thing that people been in my inbox about. And it's so weird to even say this, to be like, because people have been asking for me, like personally, they're like, so one-on-one though. Right. And I've just kind of been like, I don't know. I just don't know. So I've been talking to my psychologist about it. And she asked me, what do I feel like I'm capable of doing? And I said, I feel like I am capable of guiding people through the first part of this process to becoming intuitive melanated life coach, the awakening part of understanding who you are and how God has created you and all of that. So I did decide that I am going to open that up in April. So I am trying to align everything. It's a couple of tweaks that I need to make. especially with the self-care plans after some current events that have happened and after my own life events. I think it's really important for us to have self-care plans that include actionable steps so that if we do get to a space where we need to activate our support system, we have those things written down. But again, I'm going to put you on the spot again. And Tabari, feel free to join in from the comments if you want. I wanted to know what you would tell somebody about Discover Your Destiny and how, because it's interesting to me to have known you and also guided you through this and also hear you on the other side of it talking about yourself so much differently than before. So is there anything that you wanted to share about that?
Yes. I will say that that has been a very transformative program for me personally. I went to the Padlet the other day because we had a discussion on Monday and you were asking about my gifts and I was trying to recall all the information. And so I went back to the Padlet and one of the things that you had us do was make videos and to document week by week. And so seeing some of the videos of where I was in St. Pete during the time and looking at where I am now, I'm just like, whoa. It definitely has gotten me more in tune with myself. It has really fostered that strong connection with God. And it was the curated group that I was in that also was like a support system and village that helped me through that journey. As I'm like, y'all, I'm moving out of fear. I know it. I know that this is fear-based. I know that I'm not moving in the way that I should. And sometimes I feel like I didn't have a connection with God. And there's little videos of me having this discussion and now being so strong in my faith and having that strong connection where God sending me email. We are in alignment. I would say that if you are struggling to just figure out what your next step is in life, if you are struggling just to find your purpose, if you're struggling to figure out what your gifts are, Discover Your Destiny is it. I am not trying to oversell or overhype this. This is very genuine, out of love. I didn't know that she was going to put me on the spot like this, but I'm going to be very vulnerable and tell you that I wouldn't be comfortable in being back the way that I am, but for that course, but for me then taking the next step further to become a certified intuitive melanated life coach, to where now I'm able to pour into others and making sure that they find their freedom and fulfillment. So if that is something that is tugging on your spirit of being like, you need a safe space to work with someone to help you find your gifting, your calling, and what is best for you, you better hop on Discover Your Destiny in April, baby, because I'm telling you, Kimberly said that she ain't going to be doing this too much longer. She's tired, but she is going to continue to pour into these spaces to help other people. But it's a lot of work. And I've seen the work that she's had to do because we've had co-working time where she's literally putting all these Zoom links together and these documents together. It is well organized and very thorough. And one of my classmates is literally in the comments talking about their experience too. So you just don't take my word for it. Listen to the other people too, because I'm telling you, I really enjoyed that course, that program, and hope that other people can take that journey too, to discover their destiny and ultimately find their freedom and fulfillment.
Facts, facts. So I did want to thank you for all that too. And yeah, thank you for all that. And I've witnessed some of it, but also hearing you say it is different, because I just remember I remember where it all started. So to Tabri's point, she said, it also helped me heal my church hurt and have a better understanding of my gifts and my spiritual journey. And I want to come back to that in a little while, because I know that was something too that you had to kind of work through in that process. But first, I want to tell y'all what happened to me. Okay. First, I got to tell you what happened. And I want your live reaction. So unmute your mic, because I told you, I had asked you if you watched the live that I did, and you said no. So I was like, okay, because I wanted to get your live reaction from what happened, all right? So I had my first hot flash, okay? Mm. Now, I just turned 43 in February, okay? I have been hot before. I have felt overheated before, but it was nothing like this. This was the most freaking craziest damn girl. Okay, so I was going out to meet with someone to practice my Spanish, right? So I had asked them, they're not from here, but they work here, right? And I said, what's your favorite park to go to? So they were like, well, let's meet at this particular park. So the park is called Parque Rio. So we get to Parque Rio. Well, actually, I'm lying. I'm on my way. Okay. I'm on my way there. And I want to say we were meeting maybe at like, I'm going to say, I don't know, 5:30 or something like that. Let's just say. And I'm saying this because there was traffic. Okay. All right. So I'm on my way going there, and I just got a regular Uber. So they have the windows down, and it's hot, but like the temperature here right now in Colombia is maybe like 80s or so. So it's hot, but it's also not like oppressive, right? So as long as you're in the car, you got the windows down, like you move and you good. But we kept stopping because it was traffic, right? So it was hot. So I was like, ooh, it's hot. Ooh, goodness, it's hot. Like, sheesh, it's hot, right? So then my stomach started hurting. So then I was like, what is happening right now? Like, what is happening right now, right? So now I'm feeling like I'm having the sweats with the bubble guts, right?
Ooh, child. Which,
that's a different kind of sweat, right? So then I'm like, okay. Now where I'm meeting this person to go to this park, I wasn't meeting them at the park physically. We were meeting like at a place and then walking to the park, right? So, but I put the wrong place in. So the Uber drops me off at the park. Right. So, but then I was supposed to be meeting with the person. Right. So then I was like, hey, so where you at? Cause, and also I got to go to the bathroom. So they were like, oh, you know, send me your location and I'm gonna come to you. And I was like, or you could just tell me what the nearest bathroom is, because like, what the hell, right? So I wound up, they wound up looking for me. They find me. All right. Okay. So I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. Okay. So we're walking, but they also don't speak a lot of English, like at all, right? So I'm also having to speak in Spanish with all of this, right? So they're like almost doing a tour, and I was like, yo necesito usar el baño pronto. Like, I need to use the bathroom soon. Like, right. So they're like, oh, okay. So they walking me, and I'm sweating like at this point, and my stomach is hurting, right? So I get to the bathroom. Okay, they say there's a bathroom. So I'm like, okay, so I run in the bathroom. I go in the first stall. I'm looking for toilet paper. There's none. Okay, no problem. I go in the second stall, toilet paper, none. I go in the third stall, no fucking toilet paper.
Oh, no, absolutely
bruh,
not.
Bruh, I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do? So it's a girl that's standing in the bathroom, right? So she's like, are you looking for toilet paper in Spanish? And I was like, yeah. She was like, it's the box outside. You have to go get the toilet paper outside. So this is the thing. In Mexico and in Colombia, bathrooms, public bathrooms is something to navigate. It's not like just a situation where you just go in and go to the bathroom and you're done, right? Especially if it's one like that's in a park. Like if it's in a mall, it's a pretty normal experience. But if it's in like a park or like a bus station or sometimes even an airport, there's like a system. So sometimes you got to pay for toilet paper. Sometimes you have to get toilet paper like out of a box. So you'll like wave your hand and it'll dispense it. But like it only gives you like 4 squares at a time, right? So that's what was happening with this one, So I go up to the box, I wave, and it gives me 4 squares. And then I'm like, okay, so, oh, I forgot to mention this part. The toilets don't have seats on them. So okay. you know how like there's the toilet, then there's the toilet seat, and then there's the mm-hmm. lid. There's no lid, there's no seat,
no lid.
Just the fucking toilet. Okay. Okay. All right. So I'm at the box, I get my 4 squares. I wave again. It's not working. My stomach is hurting currently. Okay. So I wind up getting like 4 more squares. Okay. And I'm like, oh my God, this is just not gonna be good. This is just not. I'm having a full-on motherfucking meltdown. Do you hear me? Full-on meltdown.
Okay. And you don't even like bathrooms, so I know this was trouble.
Not that I don't like bathrooms, that this is my worst nightmare of all nightmares to be had. Do you hear me? Bianca, oh, no. I wind up getting like 12 squares of toilet paper, okay? Mm-hmm. And then I remember in my mind, I carry around these wipes in the event that something like this might happen. So I look at my purse and I was like, okay, I got 2 wipes. I was like, best. So I'm going to have to use these 12 squares to line this non-fucking toilet so I can get whatever the hell is going on in my stomach out of me, okay? Mind you, I don't eat a lot. I just said I only eat once a day, right? So I don't even know what the hell is going on because I ain't really ate. That day, I hadn't even eaten anything. What is happening? Okay? So I put the toilet paper down. I sit on the toilet. I'm like, dear Jesus, just please, God, just whatever, just help me right now, okay? Go to the bathroom. Okay, but now I'm done, all right? So now I got to get up, get the wipes, all the things, right? Finish. But then I have a fucking hot flash, Bianca. I'm talking, I was dripping sweat. Like, there was so much sweat that was pouring from my forehead that it was in my eyes, and I was sitting on the toilet trying to see so I could find the wipe to wipe my eyes so I can wipe my ass and get the fuck out this bathroom.
Oh, no.
I wanted to die. Do you hear me? But I was like, I cannot dare die on this public bathroom floor. Girl.
Oh no.
Girl. So I just told you I'm meeting with somebody to practice Spanish. I don't know how long I've been in here because what is time at this point, right? So now I'm texting them and I was like, hey, I'm all right, but I think I'm having my first hot flash. I'm gonna need a minute, right? Because I don't already been in here going to the bathroom. Now I am soaking, dripping, fucking wet, and I have not stopped fucking sweating yet. And I still ain't wiped my ass. Bianca, it was the worst situation ever. I don't even know how long it lasted. I don't even know. Might have been 5 minutes, might have been 10 minutes. I don't know. Eventually, I was able to wipe my ass and get up, okay? I get out the fucking bathroom. And I'm looking at myself in the mirror and my entire neck, chest, everything is soaked. Do you hear me?
No.
So I had to take my damn jean jacket and I'm like patting myself to try to like...
Oh my gosh.
There are no paper towels, right? Because we're energy conservative and shit and sustainable and things. So it's only the damn hot ass fucking blow dryer. Girl, I walked out of that bathroom and I was like, I need some water. I was like, I just need some water.
Oh my goodness.
Like now. Bruh, it was the craziest thing ever on the face of the planet.
Oh my goodness. Oh no.
So that's what happened.
Oh my gosh. That's awful. So wondering a couple of things. So like, what are some of the things that you usually carry like a backpack with you? What are some of the things that you're going to like keep in your backpack now? Because like, Whoa.
Bruh, we got to have a roll of toilet paper. We got to have a package of wipes. Nigga, we got to have a motherfucking paper towel. Okay? Like,
oh my goodness.
No more backpack purse. We are full on carry on. Okay? This can never happen again. Ever.
Oh no.
And I know y'all that might be listening, watching, replaying, all of that kind of stuff. Y'all might be like, she's so dramatic. Listen to me and understands me. When I say I don't fucking like bathrooms, that shit is not a game. If people want the secrets to the safe, put my ass in the bathroom. I get me the fuck about it. I can't do it. I can't motherfucking do it. You understand me? I'm like this about my own bathroom at my own place. That's why even right now I'm showering in the guest bathroom because the main bathroom, the window is open and it smells like outside and I don't like it. So I've been showering in the guest bathroom and I'm like, you know, I got to get my eucalyptus in there. I got to get the lights. I'm like, I got to get this situation together and it ain't together yet. Okay. I don't do that. Girl, it was traumatic. It was traumatic. You hit me.
Oh. It was traumatic.
Girl. So, and I got to get me a fan. You understand? I got to get me a fan. That's one of the things that's on the Amazon list. Cause honey, whoo. It was bad. It was bad. I said, if that is what this is going to be, I don't want it, Jesus. We're going to have to do something else. I don't want this. So anyway, that's what happened. And I'm still processing that. It was absolutely traumatic. It was also funny as fuck, but it was traumatic. So that was my story time that I've been asking you not to to watch because I wanted to tell you in real life. So that's what happened. So I'm glad to still be here because that was a lot. So yeah, did you have any other questions? We have a brain field trip that we wanted to take today. But before we take our brain field trip, tell me what your brain people are up to right now.
So currently right now, my headphones just died. And so we're going to adjust and pivot there. So I'm just like, oh, okay, well, do I have a AirPods around me? No. So we are just
Do you need to go get any? Is there feedback?
I don't hear any feedback.
Okay. I don't know if you hear this dog out here acting like they're being murdered in this hallway. Ooh. Child.
I actually don't.
Oh, well, amen for the good what they call that, the background noise production. Oh, this is Mike's baby. That dog is out there screaming. Okay. Okay, so anything else that your brain people are kicking around right now, or what is their state of affairs?
So their state of affairs was just trying to figure out the crisis of my headphones dying, and now we've remedied that. So now we are excited. My brain people are like really activated; they're like ready to create, and I'm really excited for that. So I'm like ready to like decompress, like take this outfit off because I look cute, baby.
Oh, do and you, honey? Okay.
Yes, indeed. And really start creating. There's so much that needs to be done, and I feel good. And when I feel good, my creativity is where it needs to be. So my brain people are like, "All right, so after this show, you're gonna decompress, and then there's a couple things you need to do, and then on Thursday, you're gonna be rocking and rolling because there's a list of things that you need to get done, and I'm really excited. Like I'm getting excited for what's to come. What about you?
Okay, My brain people are definitely in this curious mode. So very much willing and open to explore whatever. Like, I have a list of movies that I've been wanting to watch. So I see that they have those up on a board, as well as some YouTube videos that I needed to catch up on. So that's up on the board. So it's kind of just like, we'll just see where the evening takes us. So I like that because I also feel like it can lead to creation. It can lead to a deep conversation. It can lead so many different places. And that for me is like the most exciting thing, to have the potential to have like this deep conversation. So speaking of that, I want to bring one of those deep conversations up because I heard about this, I think it was maybe last week. And then also I was watching Kev on Stage the other day and they were talking about it as well. But it's this clip from Ty Tribbett being on The Breakfast Club. And you had sent it to me and you were like, what did I think about it? And I was like, I want to talk about it on the show. So I want us to play it just to be reminded of what was said and then talk about it, because I definitely have some thoughts that go back to the conversation that we were having earlier. So let me make sure the volume and such is up.
System now. Oh God.
Can you hear it?
It's a system. Everything is a system, and systems work with or without God. Mm-hmm. So I think the institution of church is whack. I think how church is ran is whack. I think the religious system and structure is whack. I don't subscribe to it, even though I grew up in it, I benefited from it, but I learned that God is not the church. And once I realized, whoa, God ain't church, that for me, you know what I mean? I ain't from the streets, I'm from the church. So that was a huge thing as well.
It's in the Bible, though. It says you can't even find God in a man-made temple.
Why don't we read that, though? How often do you hear that sermon? No, you hear people, pastors make the people about the church. We got the church name, we church in the church, and the bumper sticker, the church, the church should be about the people. Should be about the people, but the church makes the people about the church. So all churches now are a movement, but they're not about the people. They're not about serving and loving the people. Yeah. What do y'all look for when you think it's a system now? Oh God.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can.
But can I hear you, though?
Can you not?
No. Hold on. It might be my fault. My camera just says something. Okay, say something.
Mic check.
Okay, I can hear you now. So, what were your initial thoughts? Because you had sent it to me originally, and then I watched it, and then I've kind of heard some conversations about it. But what were your original thoughts about what he said?
So, it was circling back on conversations that we had had about the institution of church and how you can leave the institution of church, but that doesn't mean that when you leave the church that you leave God. And how there has been programming and narratives that have been painted by people in the community that say that if you don't attend church, if you don't go into these spaces and dwellings, that you're not honoring God. And that because you're not doing that, then you're going to go to hell. And so I felt very strongly about that clip because I was like, this is a man who has profited from the institution of church and has been very transparent about his beliefs, knowing
that how sensitive this conversation is, that he is going to receive criticism and he is going to receive backlash and he is going to be misaligned based on his thoughts. And I was very intrigued by the conversation that was had on the Breakfast Club, one, but then two, his vulnerability on the Breakfast Club talking about it. And so that was my intention of sharing it with you because of our previous conversations that we've had off of these social spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely 100% agreed with him 100 times over. And the institution of church and religion is something that I've been actively deconstructing, because I've had pastors tell me, I actually recorded a podcast, I don't know, a video. I was talking about all the experiences that I had leaving churches and the types of things, the types of lies that pastors would tell about why I left or how they were leading secret lives or how they inserted themselves into my relationship. Like, I've had some wild, wild, wild experiences with pastors. And what that allowed me to start to understand is that pastors are people. Ty Trippett is also a pastor. Pastors are people, and pastors are also trying to figure it out with us. And I think historically we have been put into these positions of believing that pastors and church leaders have figured it out. And they are, you know, Jesus. They're one of, you know, like, and it's even when I just said that, of thinking about the disciples and how Peter used to cuss, you know, and it just, there's so many thoughts that I have, but I'm going to do my best to try to streamline them. Pastors are people, and we have to stop elevating pastors and religion to this place equivalent with God. We have the ability to talk to God for ourselves. So when I talk about discover your destiny, and when Tabree was talking earlier about church hurt, I always tell people that this is not about church. This is not about church. This is not about religion. This is about God. And the God that our ancestors were given, anyone whose ancestors originated from Africa or somewhere where there was colonization, the version of God that we were given is not God. And when you get to know God for yourself and like really understand how God is always talking to you, like, you know, I'm infamous. I've been saying since 2012 that God sends me emails, right? And I say this to people all the time. And then y'all go through an experience and then all of a sudden what happened? God starts sending you emails or God like starts communicating, because a part of the whole program was for you to figure out how you want God to talk to you. A way that you, how would you be listening to? Who do you listen to? How do you, what you be doing with your time? Okay, well, God, if God need to show up in the video game, that's what God finna be. He's everywhere. God is everywhere all at the same time, right? So it's like when you develop this personal relationship with God, you understand that God has been trying to connect with you. And the system of religion does not teach people how to have a personal relationship with God. The system of religion teaches people how to rely on that system for understanding of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
That is not how this works. That is not what, that's not even what it said in the Bible, for right. you to have to go through a system. And when you look at Jesus and look at the things that Jesus was upset with the church people. The church people, because they created this elitist caste system of who could have access to God. And the whole reason that Jesus came and left the Holy Spirit behind is so that we can talk to God for ourselves. That's the whole point. Right. And that's, and I'm using, let me be very clear, I'm using a Christian context, because that is the religious system, if you will, that I grew up in. I very much have respect for Allah and whatever else you might call God, the creator. I am just not well-versed in those particular spiritual practices or beliefs. And I also, side note, this is a question I always used to ask, because, you know, I went to Christian school my whole life. I always used to be like, so you mean to tell me that the only people that's going to go to heaven are people that believe in Jesus, that Jesus died and rose again on the third day, which actually wasn't 3 days, but that's a side point. So what about the people that don't? So they're not going to get to go to heaven? And they'll be like, everybody's going to have an opportunity to get to know Jesus. And I was like, but what about the people who, like, what about the babies? What about, like, and I just always had all these questions, because even as a young child, I didn't know this God that was, like, so vengeful and hateful and looking for a way to harm and hurt us. Like, I didn't know that God. So I used to be very, very confused, like, about what is happening. And now that I've gotten to know God for myself, and I know the character of God, and I know God's voice, and I know how God shows up, I feel like it's a part of my mission to help people to understand that they can talk to God as well. You don't have to have somebody else to intercede for you. That was the whole point of the death and the resurrection, so that we don't have to go through somebody else.
Yeah. It's very interesting to see when that clip was posted, the comments from quote unquote Christians that were not operating out of love when responding to what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And I think that even in that, we really need to take a hard look on what we're calling and labeling ourselves and how we're moving and operating in that. Because if you are going to call yourself a Christian, some of the behaviors that is being displayed on social media is not Christ-like.
I know. Many of them aren't. And I struggle with that every single day.
And so I go back to what I always say. We cannot have selective outrage and selective participation when it comes to these systems. Church is a system. Politics is a system. Government is a system. We cannot have selective outrage and participation when it comes to these systems. So I hope that we cut it out. But I'm glad that that conversation was had. I'm glad that the Breakfast Club was the place that that conversation was had, because that was a very diverse audience in our community to have that conversation, because it's very important. And I'm so glad that he was very clear that God is not the church.
But you know what's so interesting is there was a lot of pushback on what he said, of course, but some of the pushback was people were like, that wasn't the right platform to say that. And it was really interesting to me, because when I had mentioned earlier, like the disciples, and I said that Simon Peter used to cuss and had a temper cut off somebody's ear. Like Jesus had to be like, my boy, relax. Here, bruh, here's your ear. Go forth. Be great. Son, chill. Like, you know, it was a thing. We have to understand that someone's positioning on their journey to righteousness, if you will, does not negate that they have a relationship with God. Just because somebody curses does not mean that they don't know God. Just because someone is having sex does not mean that they don't know God. Just because someone may love someone of the same sex does not mean that they don't know God. Just because someone is suicidal doesn't mean that they don't know God. It's like we have been conditioned in a colonial system of religion to villainize so many things, because it was and is a system of oppression. And we cannot act as if it wasn't used to oppress us. there was a slave Bible that had certain passages removed and books removed out of the Bible so that slaves wouldn't know that this was not how this was supposed to go. You know, like there was so many ways religion was used for indigenous people to indoctrinate them and make them abandon all of their cultural practices. So we have, unfortunately, collective we, Black people, we have created this system wrapped in our Black bodies that judges people harshly based on what we decide is respectable. They call it respectability politics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your skirt, what you're wearing, you know, all, and it's just so not rooted in anything of God. And it is just so dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I want us to understand that God is not the church. And I really do want us to be able to develop this meaningful relationship with God so that God can show you who he, she, they is to you. Because God is who you mean God to be in the greatness and the fullness of it all. You know, and that's what I wish that we would develop a desire for, because I see how it changes lives. I know how it changed my life. I know how when I presented the opportunity to you all to be like, just ask him, because what I know about what the Bible says, that the Lord says, try me and I will prove to you. That's what it says. Ask him. And that's not my name. That's on God. And I'd be like, hey, my boy, they down here talking about you, son. They down here disrespecting you, son. Show these people what's up. Like, I already know God is going to show up. You know what I mean? So it's like a win. But I want us to become hungry for that, because in this season right now, some phenomenal things are happening. And it ain't nothing but God. Like, this is stuff that we can't even make up at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Amen. Amen. This has been a great show.
I think so as well.
Yeah. And for those that are watching us live, let us know, you know, and for the replay, let us know how your spirit feels after watching this episode. It feels good to my spirit to be able to have these transparent conversations about God, but also about my life in a way where I'm unfiltered and unapologetically me.
I love it. So tell the people where they at. Where you at? I mean, okay. So that they can connect with you.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Okay. So you can find me on my website at www.biancagoolsby.com. On that website, you will see different links to my different ventures, and you could follow me on socials, my personal Patreon. You can see some of my articles that are published in the newspaper and other sources. Please connect with me, DM me. Again, there have been so many people that have reached out to say thank you for sharing your story about grieving and healing, and thank you for that. So I welcome that. And so if you need a slide in my inbox to have a safe space, I welcome it and I appreciate it. Where can the people find you?
So y'all can find me over at Minding My Black Ass Business on all platforms, mindingmyblackassbusiness.com. You can also see my podcast there, which I'm in the process of curating the episodes that are going to explain all the things that have been happening over the past year of my life. So be looking out for that soon. So Minding My Black Ass Business. You can also find me on Kimberlyn J and KimberlynJackson.com, but those spaces are under construction, but I'm still there from time to time. Also want to remind you all again that your heart work, if you will, for the week is to make your list so that you can be ready to pop that shit. Okay. We are going to have Bianca. Do we want to do the, cause you know, this was an off week for us. So do you want to do an episode next week to get back on that rotation, or you want to stay on this rotation?
We can stay on this rotation.
Okay, so we'll be back with our next show in 2 weeks. So that will be on the 27th. And at that time, we will give you all of the details for the Pop That Shit Challenge. But be making your list, okay? Because we finished being humble. We finna flex on these people. Okay, you feel me? All right. So we'll see y'all then. Make sure that you share this, y'all. That is the biggest way that you can help us, is share this with someone who needs to hear it. And if you want that behind the scenes access for these draft picks and all that kind of stuff, go on over there to the Patreon, y'all, because it's about to be real spicy, child.
It's real good.
All right, y'all. We will catch y'all next time. Have a wonderful evening. Bye.
Bye.